This is another edition of Life in Our Time, produced by the First Century News Network. Our program is focused on presenting first-person accounts from people who are shaping our culture today. In our current series, we are exploring the influence that a new and expanding religious movement called Christianity is having on our Mediterranean world. This movement actually began when a Galilean preacher named Jesus presented himself as the long-anticipated Jewish Messiah. He was executed as a heretic, but now, years later, a growing number of people have emerged claiming to be his followers. The central figure in this movement is a man named Paul. He was once a vigorous opponent of everything Christian, but is now its principal spokesperson. We are trying to get at the heart of what drives this new religion to be so intrusive in our world. We wanted to interview this man, Paul, himself, but our best efforts to contact him have been unsuccessful. He is always on the move and hard to locate. As an alternative, we have arranged interviews with a series of people who have had close personal associations with Paul and Christianity. My name is Floyd Bobertson, and I am your host on Life in Our Times, a program produced by the First Century News Network. Today we have with us a man who has traveled extensively with Paul. His name is Aristarchus. We have several questions to which we have invited his response. Why is Paul constantly on the move? And what has it been like to spend so much time with him? We understand that you were present with him in Ephesus, where there was an ugly scene that he was blamed for starting, and we would like you to tell us all about it. Also, we would like you to explain for us what this church idea is that Paul is promoting so strongly. Aristarchus, we look forward to hearing your responses and your comments.
Mr. Bobertson, I think you have, a sort of negative take on things. You don't seem persuaded that this Christian thing is really going to last. But I want to make some comments because, you know, when your people contacted me to have this interview, I asked some questions about who else you were talking with. As I heard the names, I recognized them, of course. People I've had associations with, for the most part. One thing struck me about them. You know, you start with Paul, of course. Paul's from Tarsus. He spent time in Jerusalem, firsthand acquaintance with the very first generation of followers of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. And then you had a man named Jason, and Jason's from Thessalonica. That's where I'm from too, actually. Jason told you about things there. Jason was a God-fearer. He was someone, a Greek like myself, who had come to follow the way of faith then became a follower of Jesus Christ. Then you had a visit with Aquila and Priscilla, and they're Jews. They have a wide experience of life in the world. Aquila was born in Pontus, and then they lived in Rome and went to Corinth, and then they came to Ephesus. Just all over the place. Apollos Oh, yes, you talk with Apollos. He's from Alexandria, actually. Just to indicate, Mr. Robertson, how widespread this is, you know. These aren't people from one little community. These are people from all over, and from all sorts of different backgrounds, too, because some of them were Greeks, some of them were Jews, some of them were Gentiles. No previous experience with this Messiah thing at all. This Christian group is getting bigger every day. So I invite you to, Mr. Robertson, listen closely to what I and others have to say about what's happening in these times. The group is called Christians. Sometimes they're called People of the Way. And those are names that other people have given us, really, trying to put a label on us so they could explain who we were. We don't mind them, but they weren't necessarily our idea in the first place. Actually, Paul does talk about a name for us. Paul speaks of us as the church. Now this comes from what Paul learned about Jesus' teaching. Because Jesus talked about establishing a called out group of people who would be his followers. Ecclesia, the church. And so, yes, we're people of the way. I think that the way came from, Jesus saying, I am the way. I'm not sure how it got started exactly amongst others as a name for we who follow Jesus. But that's a little background anyway. Why do I travel with Paul? Well, I don't do it for the excitement, though there's a bit of that too. I do it because I believe what he believes. He's a follower of Jesus Christ, and I have come to be one also. It's not just remembering some person from the past. It is understanding that Jesus is the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's way of showing his love and forgiveness. And Jesus came and made that sacrifice of himself, and that too was for forgiveness. Jesus taught about loving one another and loving those around us. Now, that sounds pretty good to me. When I came to this way of believing about Jesus, I had an opportunity to be near Paul, and I wanted to go along with him. Now, I'm not a preacher or a teacher like Paul is. I'm just there to do whatever is useful, whatever needs to be done. Oh, of course I talk about the faith. As people engage me in conversation, I talk about the things I believe. But my role is to just help Paul carry out his mission. And my friend Gaius with me, we've been a fair number of places with Paul. Let me say, never a dull moment. Well, you wonder what happened in Ephesus. Well, Paul had a little history with Ephesus. You know, he'd been there before this thing with Demetrius and the silversmiths. Paul had been there once before. He came there briefly. Actually, he brought Priscilla and Aquila along with him when they first came to Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila, you heard from them. Wonderful couple. So helpful, so supportive of the Christian community in Ephesus. And Paul, that first time, only stayed a very short time in Ephesus and then went on his way. He had plans to be elsewhere. Then there was a man named Apollos. You heard from him too, didn't you? He came and spent some time in Ephesus and taught and made some converts. Then went on to Corinth. And when Paul came back this time, he had a very powerful ministry in Ephesus. I mean, on this second time that's been longer, God blessed Paul's time in Ephesus in amazing ways. He had many converts to the way of Jesus Christ. Some of them were Jews who had wondered about the Messiahship and came to believe. But others were really, really strange. I mean, there was a whole group of sorcerers here in Ephesus who heard Paul and saw the way that God was blessing what Paul was doing and were astounded and were ready to listen. And not only did they listen, they came to believe what he was saying. And so it was very dramatic. I mean, people were talking about it. Everywhere you'd go down a street in Ephesus, sooner or later someone would say, Paul, tell us about him because we hear he's doing amazing things. Anyway, this commotion with Demetrius, it's kind of funny on one side, After all, what is Ephesus famous for? The Temple of Artemis. Who could miss it? I mean, it's the dominant building in the city. It's considered one of the wonders of our world. And it seems unlikely that while this group of Christians is growing, they don't seem on the surface to be much of a threat to the Temple of Artemis. The Temple of Artemis is important in Ephesus because pilgrims come from all over. They make their pilgrimages here and they want to worship in the temple and they want to take home their souvenirs. And that's where Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen come into it, of course. They make statues and replicas of the temple and they sell them to the pilgrims. Demetrius, as I say, it's kind of silly for Demetrius to have thought that Paul was going to turn the whole world of Ephesus against Artemis, but on the other hand, it maybe says something about the impact that Christianity is having here in Ephesus. I mean, anyway, what happened? Well, Demetrius got some of his friends together and they decided that this wasn't a good thing for their business. And they try and find some people who supported them in this. So on a given time, they went out into the streets and began making a fuss. And of course, the city buildings are close together. And if there's a commotion going on the street in front of your place or your shop or your house, you go out and see what it is. And everybody followed this group of people, and crowd just got bigger and bigger. And then they came to where Gaius and I were, and they recognized us as being associated with Paul, and they grabbed us and took us along with them. The crowd was unruly, but not exactly threatening at the beginning. Then they hauled us into the amphitheater, and I wasn't quite sure that I liked what was happening. Anyway, You know, there was some attempts made to sort of quieten the crowd, and they didn't work. And it went on and on. In fact, I had the feeling that a lot of people who were there didn't really understand why they were there, in fact. They were there because everybody else was there. And it had something to do with Artemis. And everybody, you know, knows how central Artemis is to Ephesus. Anything that's a threat to Artemis is a threat to Ephesus, you know? Anyway, after a time, the city clerk, who was a really stable guy, kind of got up after the momentum was weakening, I think, in the crowd. And I had come at that point to realize they weren't going to do us physical harm. I hoped that Paul was not somewhere in the midst of trouble, because I belonged with him, but wherever he was, I wasn't free to go and be with him at the moment. Anyway, the city clerk quietened the crowd and told them they better go home, because otherwise they might be charged with creating a riot. And there were ways, if they had complaints against Paul, there were ways of dealing with those, and they should go find a proconsul and lay charges. And, the crowd gradually realized that nothing more much was going to happen, so they began to dissipate, and they let us go. Afterwards, I found out that Paul had wanted to go, but others had told him that he really wouldn't help the situation to make an appearance. It wasn't a time when you could have some sort of reasoned discussion about things. And others, too, apparently had advised him not to go into the amphitheater in the face of the crowd. And so that's... it's one more time when Paul wasn't even really present when it all happened. It was because of him, I suppose, but he didn't start the crowds chanting and rampaging through the streets. Give credit for that to Demetrius. Anyway, there's an irony in this too, you know. Even before these events, Paul had already decided that he was going to leave Ephesus. He's going to move on. In fact, he said to us that he wanted to go to Rome, which seemed for us a little far-fetched, but Paul wanted to take the message everywhere. And since Rome is the center of things, that's where he wanted to go. Anyway, after this... upset after the turmoil with Demetrius, it was thought that it was a good time for Paul to move on, start fulfilling his plans to be elsewhere. And you asked me why Paul moves around so much. Pretty obvious. You've heard the story. You heard from Jason. A similar thing happened in Thessalonica, my hometown. And afterwards, not out of fear, but out of the realization that for Paul to stay around wasn't going to be helpful to the furtherance of the message there. And, when Paul moves on, I'm going with him. I'm going to stay with him as long as he'll let me. And... yes, Mr. Bobertson, that Christian thing is not about to end. In fact, let me suggest it's just getting started. And I hope you can stop being dubious. A new day is dawning. Oh, I heard, I heard that when I was asking your people about this interview, I heard that you were going to interview a young man, Eutychus. I don't think you've done that yet. And now I'd like to hear that one myself. I know who Eutychus is. He's a crazy young kid. He fell out of the, fell off the windowsill. I don't know exactly what he can add to your story, but I'm glad you're going to talk to him. He's a young man. I don't know him too well, but I think he may have something to share. Anyway, Mr. Robertson, this is Aristarchus, and I'm with Paul, and I'll be with him wherever he is. Thanks for listening.
Aristarchus, we are grateful for your report on your experiences traveling with Paul. We also appreciate your observations about the diversity that is evident in this new Christian community. Paul's impact in Ephesus was certainly significant to provoke such a reaction from the silversmiths who earned their livelihood making and selling souvenirs for the Temple of Artemis. Aristarchus, you also introduced us to a new way of referring to this Christian group who are being called the Way. You also explained another term that we are hearing more often in recent days. That's the word church. And, once again, you report that though the turmoil in Ephesus had something to do with Paul, that he wasn't actually personally involved in it at all. This seems to be a recurring pattern in the reports that we have received. Thank you for this information concerning Paul. Next week brings us to the end of our series on Paul and Christianity. Our guest will be a young man named Eutychus. We hope that you are able to join us for that final segment. My name is Floyd Bobertson, and this has been another episode of Life in Our Times, a production of the First Century News Network. Please join us again at the same time next week.